Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Well, good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, here with you on a Sunday morning. Andy Bunker, Smokin' Joe Patrick, Falcons and Patriots coming up this afternoon, just about 4 hours from right now. We've got you for the next two. Falcons Network pregame show starts at 11 a.m., and they'll take you right up until kickoff between the Falcons and the Patriots at Foxborough. Good morning to you, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I'm fine. You know, I'm looking forward to maybe wiping off some of this bad energy that's been around the Falcons over this last week. Because I think I speak for a lot of Falcons fans when I say it's been a long week. It's been a long week trying to digest exactly what happened last Sunday. We talked about it. It was a game that if you consider yourself a playoff team, you expect to win it. And not only did they not win it, but they got their doors blown off at home. And so if you're going to come back and, you know, achieve the goals that you had this season, you're going to have to come back and win some of these games that you might not be expected to.
Yeah, look, I mean, you've now dug yourself into a pretty tough hole here with losses to teams like Miami and Carolina that no one saw coming in the first place, especially not how they went. And, you know, I don't know that I could have been any more wrong last Sunday with how we analyzed that game, and well, I guess we were right in what we thought we were going to see. we were wrong in what actually ended up playing out, and you know, pretty much everything we talked about last Sunday, the serious stuff, and even some of the more tongue in cheek stuff about Kirk Cousins going out and he's going to throw 300 yards and he's going to make this uncomfortable, and that would have been great actually. Like we were kind of having fun with how annoying it might be if that became a conversation, sort of a quarterback controversy, whatever conversation. I would gladly take that over what the last week was because of how badly they played and he played. And, you know, to be down 34-3 to that team at home is worse than anyone could have imagined.
Yeah.
And then again, the Dolphins turn right around on Thursday night, get their doors blown off by the Ravens, fire their general manager, and confirm the spiral that we thought that they were in coming into the Falcons game. They just got a nice little 3-hour reprieve from all of that nonsense by playing the Falcons.
Yeah, and the quarterback situation is concerning because the value proposition of Kirk Cousins was supposed to be as this stopgap insurance, you know, that you have at the most important position in sports.
He can get you a win if you need one.
Exactly. And you probably do. We said this. Like, you probably, like, if you look at around the league, most quarterbacks in the NFL, a majority miss like a game or two with with some sort of injury, if not longer. So you want to make sure that, that game or two doesn't derail your season. And of course, what happened was that could very well be the game. I mean, I think it basically has derailed. Now, can they get the season back on tracks? That is, of course, possible. But again, they're going to have to show up in a game like today against the Patriots, which is going to be very difficult, or next week, or both. And this Falcons team is capable of doing it. And that's the really frustrating part, is that we saw them have one of the best wins they've had in years a couple weeks ago against the Bills, and they've got to get back on that level. You can't just have this kind of seesaw season like they've had so far.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the most frustrating part is. It's hard to power rank the frustration. But it is one of the most frustrating things that they're capable of playing some really good football against good teams. I mean, the best game they played all year was against the best team they played all year. They beat them by 10 at home. The two worst games they've played this year, and I know Carolina has sort of showed themselves to maybe not be quite so bad. I mean, they're 4-4. Mm-hmm. Falcons would like to be 4-4 by the end of the day today. So I'm not going to include them quite in the same category that I include Miami in. But to lose both of those games the way that the Falcons have
is
shocking. Like, it really is shocking. You don't see teams lose by 30 in the NFL very often.
It's the manner of the losses. It's not just the fact that you lose the games. Even this game against the Dolphins, I think it would have been a lot easier to stomach had it, you know, you felt like you played relatively well, but, you know, you have a couple turnovers that kill you. You maybe, you know, lose on a last second field goal or something like that. Would be much more understanding, I think, than, you know, for there just to be a complete egg laid, and almost feels like the team just kind of doesn't show up. And that's what the really concerning part for, again, especially for fans who see this team beat a team like the Buffalo Bills a couple weeks ago. And it will be very interesting to see on that front, like, how they're able to match up specifically against this Patriots team, because what we heard a lot this week from the players and coaches was the similarities that these offenses have at the quarterback position between Drake May and Josh Allen, who plays for the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, Drake May at a different stage of his development, but both quarterbacks that are, you know, bigger guys, mobile guys with really strong arms, and you have to have a plan on how you're going to corral them. And certainly they did a couple weeks ago. Now it'll be very interesting to see if Jalen Walker plays, because he's a big part of that plan, and he's questionable coming into today's game. But certainly they've got their, you know, they've got a tough task ahead of them.
Yeah, it's funny though that almost makes it feel like, and maybe I'm just talking myself into it, but I'm almost more confident that they're going to play. I don't know that they're going to win.
When their backs are up against the wall?
And against a good team. Like, if any of last week in the Carolina game were overlooking, which again, like, that can't, I hope that that's not it. But also maybe I hope that it is, because maybe that's an explanation that helps a little bit in terms of why a performance would look like that. But like, if you're overlooking Miami or you're overlooking Carolina or you just think you're better and you're going to show up, which again, I don't know how they could think that they're capable of that against anyone. You're certainly not going to have any of that against New England.
Yeah.
You're on the road against a team that's 6-2. They're rolling. Their quarterback's playing well. They're well coached. Their offensive coordinator is, you know, when he's the offensive coordinator of that team and has a quarterback like this, he's got some pretty good success.
I like the way that Jeff Ulbrich framed it with Josh McDaniels. Is he has a PhD in this offense.
He
has been teaching this offense for 20 plus years at the highest level. He knows, you know, that's the end of my paraphrasing of Jeff Ulbrich. Now I'm going to speak for myself. It's maybe not the most, like, because it's been around for so long, it's not like he's going to come out and surprise you with some look or another, but he is very good, going back to Jeff Ulbrich, and kind of like making the adjustments and making the tweaks to his offense based on what he's seeing. He's so used to being able to adapt it in game situations to all these different styles of defenses that he's gone up against over the years. Makes for a very interesting test against Jeff Ulbrich, who's spent a lot of time in that NFC or the AFC North there, or AFC East, and is well familiar with the scheme.
Meanwhile, the Falcons offensive coordinator might be the guy who people are most mad at at this point.
Yeah.
I don't, again, we're power ranking rage. Right. And there's a lot of people that are on the
plenty to go around.
A lot of people on that list for Falcons fans right now. Here's how I know that it, you know a loss is more than just a loss when we move past players and coaches and start talking about like front offices and power structure and ownership. Like, When Rich McKay and Arthur Blank come up in the conversation, you lost a bad one.
Yeah.
Or a couple bad ones. It's like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah. That's what the Dolphins loss did to people. The 49ers loss was like, man, we gotta find a way to get this run game going and
play better on the road.
Gotta play exactly. Yeah, like it was still an X's and O's football conversation. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins loss was so bad, people are mad at Arthur Blank.
and
I get it. Again, I get it. That was awful, unacceptable, embarrassing, all the different things that they say.
That's where the mind wanders.
Exactly. Because you can't be any more mad at the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take that
exactly.
You have to take that rage somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's what this week was. Like it's always, I don't know, fun isn't the right word for it, but definitely like interesting and a little entertaining for me in the position that we're in, where 3 hours a day, this time of year, we're talking a lot about that team,
mm-hmm.
the game that happened, the game that's coming up, taking calls, interacting with folks on social media. It's always interesting to see as the week plays out after a loss like that, where the anger sort of branches out to. And I found it interesting that it seemed to sort of settle by Thursday and Friday on Zach Robinson,
mm-hmm.
understandably.
Yep.
He and his offense have to be better today in order for the Falcons to win the game. But then it sort of settled on Penix a little bit as well. And again, I get it. He's the quarterback. He didn't play against the Dolphins.
Yeah, so that's worth remembering, and they really could have used him, I think.
Can't hang that one on him because he didn't play against Miami. It would have been great if he would have. But he sort of seems to now be under the microscope in a way because we're halfway through the season. He's not actually a rookie. He's in his second year. Offense isn't playing well. Certainly the pass game hasn't been great.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like now we're like, okay, now you're on notice right now. A good game from Penix would go a long way.
Oh, yeah.
This afternoon.
I think that would help kind of ease the tensions across the board. And they certainly could use it for that reason. But I think that also he's been put in a tough spot, Andy, because he's a young quarterback. Let's remember, he's basically still in his rookie year in terms of the amount of starts that he's had. What has he had now? Like 10 starts in his career?
I think today will be his 11th.
Yeah, today will be his 11th. Or no, he didn't start last week. So when I'm doing the math, I believe it will maybe be his 10th. Either way, still
three last year and six. You're right. Today will be his 10th.
Yeah. So we're hitting double digits today. But that just goes to show how early he is in his career. So there's a normal development track that you expect a quarterback to kind of go through, some of these ups and downs, the highs and lows. But the tough part about the way that he is judged is there is a veteran quarterback making a lot of money that he's keeping on the sidelines right now. And that quarterback was ostensibly supposed to be the guy that was supposed to help lead this team to the immediate success, you know, to the playoff runs and kind of fulfill this rebuild that Terry Fontenot has been overseeing for the last several years. But now that job is basically on Penix because he's been elevated to that position. And I think rightly so with what we saw last week against the Dolphins. I mean, I know I remember coming on your radio show this week, Andy, you asked who was like the most missed player of all the injured players. Like, it's a quarterback, no doubt about it, because it changes the entire way that oppositions are able to attack you. And the Falcons really needed that counterpunch of Michael Penix's arm. And hopefully they get that this week. You know, there's kind of the story told of when he went out for that pro day workout, or not pro day workout, but just a private workout.
When they flew out to Seattle to see him.
And it was a terrible weather, cold, damp, windy. And he was slinging that ball around because he has massive hands. He's got 10.5-inch hands that can really grip a football in some adverse weather. Could be something similar today. Obviously not going to have the wind and rain, but well, there could be the wind, not going to be the wet conditions we expect, but outdoor elements, potentially some breeze there in Gillette. That's when you hope to see those physical attributes that Michael Penix has come and shine.
Yeah, I mean, he played his home games at Husky Stadium, and after September, bad weather. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have some rain, not a lot of snow up there, but you're going to have rain, wind, cold, all kinds of stuff in home games.
Actually, fun fact, I didn't know this, just in talking to some coaches, they actually prefer snow to rain in some instances, depending on the weather. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Dry.
Yeah, exactly. Keeps the moisture at the right level for grip.
Plus, really pretty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know football coaches love
just a pretty picturesque,
atmosphere. I remember one time I was talking to Randy about it. I was like, everybody loves a snow game. He's like, no, players don't. I was like, oh, right. Yes, of course. The people that are actually out there playing the games probably wouldn't prefer it, but it's really nice to watch. And he's like, well, that's great. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's nice for you to watch it on your comfortable couch. When we're playing in 22 degree weather in Foxborough and it's snowing, it's not super fun.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. Good point.
But Penix has not been good on the road. So, you know, this would be a good time for him to kind of get that jump start.
I know. You are correct. You are correct. We can dig into some of those numbers as the show goes on. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with Andy Bunker and Smokin' Joe Patrick, brought to you by Bear and Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score, unfortunately. I wish we could. But you can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next-level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle today and bring home the W. We will come back. We'll let you hear a little bit from Raheem Morris. Should we let people hear from Zach Robinson, or is that just going to cause road rage?
Is it just going to inflame tensions?
Although, I don't know. Is Raheem going to make people happy? I don't know that that's really a good one either.
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll come back and talk more about the Falcons and the Patriots coming up later on this afternoon on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show here with you on a Sunday morning. In-studio, the in-studio edition of the Tailgate Show as the Falcons are on the road up in New England.
The extra hour of sleep edition.
What a treat, huh?
Did you use yours wisely?
Well, I tried, but I've got two kids who don't know about that. So when their body said wake up.
yeah.
It was 6:15, but yeah, they were ready to rock.
I don't know this about kids. Actually, all credit, it was Ben Valin, who's a reporter for the New England Patriots, who I saw post this on Twitter today saying that today's the longest parenting day of the year because of this dynamic.
They're up early and they don't understand bedtime because Their bodies still think that it's yesterday. Plus, also add to that a lot of candy.
Candy situation.
A lot of candy. Yep, yep, like, yep. You have to figure out like how.
You have to manage this addiction also.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to, like, now you can play it a lot of different ways. You can get some stuff done. You start bribing them. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
It's like, all right. You know,
it's a carrot and a stick.
It is. It is. Playroom's pretty messy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cars on the ground in there that I didn't put on the ground. And I don't want any candy. But if you want that Snickers, go clean up those cars. So, get that picked up.
And this is how it was when I was a kid. You went trick-or-treating. Halloween night, you get access to your bag. Like, yeah. And you absolutely
no holds
tear
barred.
Into that.
No
thing.
Holds barred. You're allowed to eat while you're trick-or-treating. When we get home, you can eat. Like, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, but then after that, it goes into, like, a locked safety box, and you are only given the candy that you, yeah, therefore earn.
Yeah, because otherwise they would be eating it for breakfast, like I told Sam and Greg, my son wanted to
eat
do yesterday. Come on, get your nutritious donuts. And you're, because that's the thing, like, we had family pictures yesterday morning. We had to, like, go to a park, and there was a photographer, and we took pictures and stuff, and it was really fun. Kids did a great job. But we stopped and got some breakfast on the way home, and one of the things that the restaurant had, like, as a special was donut holes. So I was like, all right, we'll grab some of those, too. Why not? Everybody likes a little donut on the side. So got home, and we're having it, and they, you know, they're having some of their breakfast, but they wanted candy. And I was like, well, it's 10:30 in the morning. Like alcohol and candy kind of have the same rules, you know?
Right. Yeah. They are the same. I mean, they're it's all in alcohol.
It's basically,
you know,
alcohol
sugar's
for
alcohol.
Them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The kid version
exactly.
Of drinking. I was like, look, I'm going to wait until the 3:30 games start, okay? You don't see me cracking open a beer right now at 10:30 in the morning. I'm waiting until the Georgia game starts before I have my first one. You guys got to wait to have some candy until 3:30 as well.
They don't even know. They're still getting the carbs from the donut, but it's just the novelty of the colors and the wrappers and getting to sift through it all and open it. I mean, that's the fun part.
And it's delicious.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And there's various delicious treats.
At some point when you start eating candy, like, your mouth does just kind of go numb, and you don't even, like, fully taste it like you were tasting it initially. But
yeah. Well, and then you can start to feel, at least as an older person, you can feel the sugar.
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my blood sugar.
You start shaking a little bit.
Am I going to... Do I need insulin? Like, what's right. happening? So anyway, yes, that's part of it. There's, you know, there's a lot of factors at play. Now, the thing that is nice about now, about fall back, is in the summertime, it's hard to convince a 5-year-old to go to bed when the sun's out.
Right.
It's like, well, it's daytime still. Well, no, it isn't. The sun doesn't go down till 9, and your bedtime is still 8, no matter what time of year
that.
It is.
I remember that.
But now the sun's down early, so
yeah.
It'll be a little bit easier to,
yeah.
A little bit easier to get them to go. Anyway, Falcons on the road in Boston, in Foxborough against the Patriots today. We sort of set the stage in the first segment. Now we can dig a little deeper into some of this stuff. Like, obviously, if the Falcons are going to beat anybody, it's been proven this year they have to run the football. When they run the ball well, they have a good chance to win. When they run it over 30 times, they're 3-0. They're 0-4 when they don't. The last 2 weeks, the run game really hasn't worked, and the pass game hasn't helped either. Now, the difficult part about today is the Patriots are very good against the run. They have a very good run defense. They know exactly what the Falcons are going to try to do. So, I mean, the onus is on the play caller and the players to go out there and execute the play call, but they have to run the football well if they're going to win the game today.
Yeah, they got to get it figured out. They got to get the scheme figured out and get it blocked up better. You know, one of the things they talked about this week was there's been an identification problem along the offensive line and the communication of who's supposed to be working to which guy. And if you have watched any of the tape, you will have seen them kind of, you know, both in pass protection and in the run game, I would say, you know, maybe doubling up on one guy, but then leaving somebody else free that is able to come in and make the play. And that's just kind of the thing where it's like you can do 90% of the things right on these plays, but if it's a critical, you know, 10% that you don't get right, that guy's making the play and blowing up the whole thing. So they've got to get that right. I will say, along like the rushing front and getting these guys carries, I want to distinguish one thing, which is, yes, you do need to get Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier the ball a certain amount of time. You're only able to do that right. If you reach a certain level of effectiveness that allows you to be able to do that. There were a couple weeks ago, Kyle Shanahan in the 49ers game against the Falcons when they were down defensive players and they needed to keep time of possession. He said that he challenged his guys. He said, I want to call 40 run plays in this game. But you have to go out there and be effective enough to allow me to call 40 run plays. Because if you don't get yourself in the situation, you have to then go to the pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. It's actually the same conversation that we had last Sunday about Algiers carries. Like, Algier gets more carries when the offense is functioning well, not because he's creating a functioning offense, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's a beneficiary of everything else working. When everything else is working, then there's more plays.
And then he adds to it also.
And then he adds to it. Exactly. The magic number is not simply 30. You couldn't just hand the ball off 30 times and then you're going to win the game. You have to be effective in running the football in order to justify continuing to hand the ball off. And then you'll get to that 30. And if you're effective in doing it and do it 30 times, that's probably going to be a good combination. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not as simple as, well, just do this and then this will happen. You have to be effective in doing it in order to do it that many times.
Football is an interesting game in this respect, in that there's like these positive feedback loops that happen and negative feedback loops mm-hmm. that happen. If you don't run the ball effectively on first down, well, then not only do you have to then, you know, throw the ball in second down, but then you become more predictable. Like, all these things tend to work against you when you don't execute the way that you need to strategically, and vice versa. When you are picking up 6 yards on first down, it opens up so much, and it allows an offensive coordinator to be more effective because there are so many more options on the table.
It's amazing how easy it looks when you are effective on first down. Like, if you're getting 6-7 yards on first down and you're rolling, and then, like you said, the whole playbook is open to you. Obviously, you were already effective with what you did on first down, but now you're in second and short, and you're in third and short. You don't even have to get to third down if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. You can get a first down on second down.
That would be,
you can get a first down on first down. but it's amazing how easy it can look when you start getting in rhythm and you're effective on first down. Conversely, it's amazing how hard and almost impossible it can look at times when it's constantly second and 10, third and 8. You're in these long downs and distances, and you're just, it looks like you're trying to run through mud. And that's what it's looked like the last couple of weeks. Like, they made it look easy in the first half against Buffalo. They made it look really good almost the whole four quarters against Washington. The last 8 quarters, and even 10 quarters, really, if you go back to the second half against Buffalo where they weren't super effective offensively, they've made it look incredibly difficult.
Yeah. And that was also, I don't know if there's anything to this, but you know, there was a key event that happened right at that mark. Jake Matthews going to the locker room, missing the second half of that Buffalo game, and then, you know, obviously not being at his maximum, having to deal with what I've seen reported as a high ankle sprain that he's apparently playing through, which is the most Jake Matthews thing ever, because that is a really debilitating injury. So all the respect in the world to him for being able to do that.
This is maybe a dumb question because it kind of answers itself, but do you think that if at some random point in this 185-game stretch, he had had an injury so bad that he missed a game, that he would be playing right now?
Is this about
keeping the streak alive?
Butterfly effect situation.
But also the fact that the reason he hasn't missed a game is because he doesn't miss games, because it's tough as hell. So that didn't happen because it can't happen to him. Just like right now, it's not happening because it doesn't happen to him. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't miss a game in the 84th game in the streak. For the same reason he's not missing a game in the 184th game in the streak, because he's tough as hell and he's going to play.
Right. Yeah, I mean, maybe. But, I wonder if that has anything to do with it. Having said that, when I've watched, he's not been the problem on this offensive line.
It's on the right side.
it's on the right side.
It's on the
sure.
right side the last couple of weeks.
There's also been some issues, in my opinion, between the center and guard with Bergeron and Neuzel. A lot of that's in pass protection for me with Bergeron, where I feel like the stunts are not getting passed off as effectively as they should be, or you know, there are sometimes some delayed blitzes that are coming through where the guy's coming through clean because an offensive lineman is not properly passing off some of that. So they need to get that sorted out, and it's a lot on those guys. But then again, I think that they're going to be up for the challenge today. Just in hearing from Chris Lindstrom talking, he basically said that there's been kind of a challenge laid down by the coaching staff towards this offensive line. That was also the case earlier this season. And they're prideful people. I know that they don't talk much in the media or whatever, but you know, behind the scenes, those guys take a lot of pride in how they do their jobs.
And I hope that plays a factor in what happens today. I hope that whatever challenge it needed to happen, or maybe it puts you a little more attentive to some of the details that aren't going right. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that 10% that you're missing, that's leading to the play getting blown up. This is also going to be now the second game in eight where the offensive line will have been challenged during the week.
Right,
because the previous game they didn't play well. Remember week one against Tampa, they pretty well got their lunch handed to them by Vita Vea and that Tampa front. Mm-hmm. And then all week it was, manhood test. You know, they got to get their, get their card back, and they got to go out there and prove it. It's like, all right, well, that was week one, and they did a good job in week two of doing that. We can't be like have to challenge that every week in order to make it happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then week three happened, by the way.
Right, and then week three, and it was exactly, and then it was back to nothing. So exactly, that's my thing is like, you can only go to that stuff so many times mm-hmm. in a season. Mm-hmm. Like last week we talked about, you only get one wake-up call, right? That last week wasn't the wake-up call. Mm-hmm. That was maybe, maybe that's a symptom. How many times do you get to put your manhood on the line on Sunday to prove that you could do it before you're just like, maybe this offensive line's not that great?
I've thought the same thing about what happened with ex wide receivers coach Ike Hilliard, and they're like, whether that was, I take the coaches at their word that there was something that was not working properly in that situation that needed to be corrected. But I think it was also probably like this is how serious it is, kind of a right. A shock to the system in that front. But again, you can only send that shock so many times before
you can only move Zach Robinson down to the field. So many times,
right?
You did it, and it worked for a couple of weeks, and then now it's back to wrong with the offense?
How many levers are there?
Do you send him back up? Like, know what I mean?
Yeah,
you only get a whatever you want to call it, levers to pull, Hail Mary passes, shocks to the system, go into the well, whatever you want to call it. You only have so many of those before you're just like, maybe they just can't. Maybe it's just not that great. Unfortunately, now I do think that a part of it is guys being injured and being out. Like, it wasn't 34-10 to the Dolphins because of that.
Yeah.
But part of it was. Drake London not playing is a huge, huge deal for the offense.
Yeah.
Michael Penix, obviously, is a huge deal for the offense. Like, if there was any concern about the Cousins-Penix thing, that got put to bed last Sunday for sure with how bad Cousins played. Jalen Walker not playing is a huge deal. He was so good against Buffalo. And how good he's been against the run for a rookie. You really need to get him back out there.
This is what's concerning about this Falcons roster, though, Andy, in that it feels like when a starter goes down, it's like it creates chaos in terms of how they replace that player in a lot of different positions.
And there's one guy more than any that's been missed and has caused a ton of chaos in the middle of that defense. We can talk about next because I still don't know what their plan is to deal with Divine Diablo not being in the middle of that defense. So we'll come back and get into some of that stuff as we continue to get you ready for the Falcons and the Patriots at 1:00 this afternoon. I'll tell you about that next. I was going to tell people about some pork, but I'll tell them about pork next when we go around the NFL as well. Thanks for being with us here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Be sure to stay tuned later on today for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show. Brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick here with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Getting you ready for the Falcons and the Patriots in Foxborough. We're with you till 11 o'clock today when the Falcons Radio Network pregame show takes over. Obviously, Wes and Dave got you on the call. We'll be here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all afternoon. Falcons flyover. Hopefully, a positive Falcons flyover this afternoon. I can't imagine what some of those phone calls might have been like last Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I guess I can't.
I wasn't working.
I can't imagine because they were they were still calling into our show on Monday morning to talk about what happened. But, It's interesting to have gone from where we were coming out of the Buffalo win to where we are now, and you know losing games obviously will do that, especially like the one last week. But this is a vital game. This is a pivotal moment of the season today, where you can go on the road against a good team, you can get a win, get back to 500. I think you can really kind of shift the morale. Not of the team. I think the team's morale is probably fine, but the morale of the fan base and maybe get people to buy back in a little bit. You lost a lot of buy-in with what happened last Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it probably will take more than just one win here.
Oh, no doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
You know, these kinds of, when you lose by 30 points or close to it, and they were losing by more than 30 at one point against the Dolphins, those kinds of things leave a stain that doesn't easily go away. You know, it's not easy to get a stain now. You got to kind of keep going over it.
It's like
and
red
over it.
Wine on a yeah. on a white rug.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give it multiple repetitions of the cleaner, and so that's what it's going to take, I think, for this Falcons fan base to truly be charged up again, like I think they were heading into the season when hopes were so high. But listen, going into this game against the Patriots, it's something that we talked about when I was on your show this week, Andy. It's not like it's impossible for that to happen today because this Falcons team has shown that they can play their best against the best.
I fully expect the Falcons to play a good game today.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's a super low bar.
Like, yeah.
I don't think they'll embarrass themselves again, you know, but unfortunately they have twice this year. No, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Falcons go up there and look good against the Patriots because they've looked good against the best teams that they've played. Now, again, I don't know if that's you're more focused because of the opponent thing. Yeah, I guess you've played those games coming off bad losses, so maybe you're a little bit more dialed in because of that. We already talked about the offensive line sort of having the, you know, getting called out, and we need to prove it this week and all that. They did last time. But no, I mean, you know, first of all, if you don't, it's going to be uglier than
yeah.
what happened against Miami
because
this team's a lot better than that. But I have no doubt that the Falcons will rally and play. And off there, I don't know. I'm not saying that I think that they're going to win today.
Right. There's a difference there for
yeah,
sure.
But I think it'll look a lot different than it did last Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll look cleaner. Again, I think especially along the front, you know, you want to see less
just unblock guys that are able to either knife in and make a tackle on a run play or get to the quarterback in a passing play, which was also an issue not just against the Dolphins, but also going back to that 49ers game when they were missing so many pieces.
Yeah.
Really, they had effectiveness because Robert Saleh was drawing up some, I don't even know if they were blitzes, but they were just kind of like overloads on one side and then dropping guys off on the other where they're still bringing only maybe four or five, but very effective at getting into the quarterback because the Falcons' offensive line was not passing off and identifying these guys properly.
I know we'll get more into the injury report coming up in about 20 minutes, but a guy that has not played the last couple of weeks, and I don't know when we would expect to see Divine Diablo again. I know he's on IR. Mm-hmm. Maybe by the end of the year you could, or if you make the playoffs, but the answer for filling in for him has not been great thus far. How do you think they try to adjust to that today?
You know, Jeff Ulbrich is kind of maintaining the same, saying the same lines basically to the media in terms of it's going to be a committee approach. And that's what he said last week. But then J.D. Bertrand, the linebacker who comes in ostensibly to replace Divine Diablo, you know, at his position, the linebacker, J.D. Bertrand still played by the charting that I saw 68 of 69 defensive snaps for team last week. So there may have been a committee in terms of the responsibilities that they would have given in certain situations to Divine Diablo. Maybe they give that to a different player, a safety or whatever it is, and have J.D. Bertrand do something different. But either way, J.D. Bertrand was not good enough in that game. And Raheem Morris said it bluntly, you know, afterwards that it was just not good enough overall. So to go back to Jeff Ulbrich and saying it's going to be a committee approach, do they keep J.D. Bertrand on the field for that amount of plays, or do they start to change the committee approach in terms of the actual personnel that you're putting out?
Yeah, I mean, who else would be on the committee?
Right. Ronnie Harrison Jr., who I mentioned, tell your family and friends, a little fun nugget, if you want to sound like a really smart Falcons fan.
He got in there.
Yeah, he was a late training camp acquisition who's a converted safety, just like Divine Diablo was, who I think they're trying to develop into maybe the next Divine Diablo, but he's not Divine Diablo yet. He's still, when you look at him, he's still like pretty thinly built. He still looks like kind of a longer, but you know, leaner, lankier type of linebacker. And maybe doesn't have the run support that you would want that position. But J.D. Bertrand's not giving you the run support either. J.D. Bertrand, while he may be a little like thicker in the arms, he's still not like long. He doesn't have the length. He gets pushed when at the point of contact that allows extra yards, very valuable extra yards for these runners.
It's not very often on Sunday that you notice a guy's speed just really not being there. You see it on Saturday sometimes, you know, if there's a matchup that's just particularly bad for a team, or, you know, the funniest is when you see a receiver get out in the open field on Saturday and you expect them to hit that next gear and they just kind of don't have it. It's like, all right, that makes sense. I mean, he's a good college player. Maybe he's not a pro. It's not very often on Sunday where you can notice a physical ability difference like that. You can with him. And there's multiple times where it's just like, dang, he just wasn't fast enough to make. They smart, obviously. You know, he knows what he's doing. They love him. They rave about him. But he just gets in slightly bad spots. I think part of it is just physical limitations.
We talk so much as, you know, sports media, and when we're analyzing football, we talk about the intangibles, you know, the grit, the heart, whatever it is.
For him, which are great.
Yeah.
You need some tangibles.
Yeah. You need the tangibles. You need the arm length. There's a reason why boxers with long arms have success. There's a reason why defensive linemen and offensive tackles, why they measure these things at the combine is because they actually do work.
Yeah, like, it's not arbitrary that they measure quarterbacks' hand size at the combine. They do it because they have years and years of data that say if a quarterback's hands are X size or bigger, they're more likely to be able to grip the ball in different weather and do this and that and the other. If they're this size, they're less likely to be able to do it. Doesn't mean you can't, but I mean, of course. I mean, that all we make fun of kind of the underwear Olympics nature of the combine,
sure,
but they measure all that stuff for a reason.
Yeah.
And they take all that stuff into account.
Yeah, for sure. And even, you know, Raheem Morris has talked about how he and Jeff Ulbrich back, you know, years ago did like an analysis of this, basically talking about actually defensive linemen and that there really is a threshold with regard to arm length that makes us a definite difference, a measurable difference in their productivity.
Well, it's also one of the things they loved about Divine Diablo.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like his measurables specifically for what they want to do at that position are exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. And look, you saw it, man. Like he played five games. We didn't know what to expect from him coming in. I know, you know, if you And if you were like a real sicko, you probably knew him a bit from his time in Oakland and Vegas. But most folks weren't all of that familiar with Divine Diablo. I mean, he flew off the page in the first five games of the season. He was probably, I don't even know how else he probably was. He was probably the defensive MVP of this
team.
Oh,
yeah, I think so.
Through five games, just with all the different stuff he was able to do, versatility-wise and making plays. And then to replace him with, you know, with a guy who just doesn't have all of that ability is pretty glaring.
I think his MVP credentials have been added to in
solidified.
Absentia.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
that's
like,
right.
Like with him gone, you see the value of him even more than,
yeah, you're
than
right.
When he was on the field.
You're right about that. You're right about that. And again, unfortunately, we're not going to have him today or in the next handful of weeks, however long. So, you know, unfortunately, no use worrying about whether or not he's going to be out there, because he's not.
And the difficulty, to kind of come back to the nuts and bolts of it, is that, you know, he is able to do so many things because he has these physical gifts. Yep. You know, Jeff Ulbrich talks about, I can ask Divine to do things that no other linebacker would be doing in the NFL, that you would always kind of punt off on a nickel or one of your defensive backs, because he's so good moving backwards. And I think, you know, that's not there's kind of a macho thing, but like, you actually need to, as a linebacker, be able to move backwards away from the line of scrimmage, you know, fluidly and within the proper kind of spatial recognition of knowing where opponents are and where you should be in order to be able to make plays. He's very good at that, and I don't think the Falcons have another player on their roster like that. So how do they make up for that? I think that they're still trying to figure that out, and I wouldn't necessarily just go off of what he said to media, because, you know, a defensive coordinator is not going to give his actual game plan away to media. I honestly was not surprised to hear him just say that we're going to stick to this committee approach.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if that's actually how it's going to manifest.
Of course. Just like when Zach Robinson said, we have the answers, we're going to fix it.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone followed up by saying, how? What are they?
Yeah, well, we're going to execute.
Yeah, we're going to execute. Oh, okay. What are you going to do to execute better? We're going to execute better. Oh, okay, good. Of course they're not going to tell us.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're furious about them not executing the last couple of weeks, and they've told you they're going to fix it before, them telling you they're going to fix it again might make you feel a certain way. All right, we'll get to the injury report in about 10 minutes from right now. Before we do that, let's take a look around the rest of the NFL, brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork. Head to simplyhatfield.com. Some good ones, and, you know, some also maybe not so good ones, as is the case every Sunday. The Bears and the Bengals, speaking of guys that solidify their MVP candidacy by not playing, Joe Burrow
yep.
Will obviously not play again for the Bengals today. Flacco's been okay, the Bears have been playing some pretty good ball. I know they lost last week, but they won four out of the last five.
Ben Johnson challenged his team, and they responded after that they lost their second game of the season. He kind of called out some of their practice habits and stuff, and credit to him, because you got to have the stones, like, internally and with, like, how your reputation is amongst the people in your building, in order to be able to say something like that and get that kind of response, and he got it.
Yeah, if you call your players out publicly, they have to really believe in you in order to follow it up. Also, you know, just a subplot of the Falcons game today, too. Caleb Williams was the number one draft pick in that class of quarterbacks. Two of the other six are playing. Two of the other top four. Because Drake May went third, right? Mm-hmm. You had Williams, then you had Daniels, and then you had May, and then a few picks went by, and then Penix, and then McCarthy, and then Bo Nix. Penix and May square off today. Penix beat McCarthy and the Vikings earlier this season. I don't know that he's playing. And Daniels, him and Daniels kind of went toe-to-toe last year at the end of the
year. That's right. That's right.
In that Commanders game where Penix actually played really well in the second half. Hadn't played Caleb yet.
Correct.
And actually, he got in, Randy pointed out, Penix got in at the end of the game against the Broncos last year. But we're not going to hold that one against him with the Bo Nix matchup. He did beat Bo Nix.
He actually had some dots. He threw a couple dots in that Broncos game.
It was too little, too late.
It was a little too little. Yeah.
Another one of those games where they got smoked over the last couple of years, unfortunately. Vikings and Lions. J.J. McCarthy's going to play in that one. So that'll be interesting. He hadn't played since the Falcons game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Sunday night game. They haven't seen him because with the injury that he picked up.
Are they hiding him?
I think they didn't want to have to play him, but Carson Wentz got hurt, so you got to do it. At some point, he's a top 10 draft pick. You got to play the guy. You got to see what you got in him. Panthers and Packers. Packers are playing some good football, man. They're 3-0 at home at this point.
They're a machine. They're rolling.
They're one of the teams. I don't know that I put them fully on, like, the top shelf of teams that I think can go to the Super Bowl, but they're right there behind it. Like they're right in there. And if, man, if Jordan Love plays the way he has over the last couple of weeks, they can beat anybody. Chargers and Titans. All right. That'll happen.
That's a game.
That is a game.
That's a one o'clock game right there.
Dude, here's, I'm a little frustrated with the NFL because they have, and I get why they've done it, but they've really given preferential matchups to the primetime spots.
Mm-hmm.
The Thursday games have gotten way better.
Mm-hmm.
The Monday games are always good. The Sunday night games are always good. And then they want that 4 o'clock window to feature at least one really good game, sometimes two.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 1 o'clock games, like you'll be watching on Red Zone if the, because the Falcons have played outside of 1 o'clock a lot this past month. I know last week they played at 1 o'clock, but before that, there was like 3 weeks in a row where they were not a part of that 1 o'clock window.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of that football's terrible.
Rough.
Some of that stuff's bad. Speaking of that, the 49ers will play the Giants at 1 o'clock today as well. No Cam Scataboo for the rest of the season, just a disgusting injury that he picked up last week. Colts and the Steelers is interesting. That's who the Falcons play.
Yeah.
Next weekend in Germany. We'll have a 5:30 a.m. Wade Ford tailgate show that day, by the way. That'll be pretty
fun. Get your tailgate started early.
Get you real early. But again, if a tailgate show starts, that means you're allowed to drink.
That's right.
So you get up
permission.
Permission granted from Andy and Joe. You can drink at 5:30 in the morning. Maybe you're rolling it around from the night before.
Yeah,
maybe you never went to bed.
But
the Colts are the story of the year so far in the league.
Yeah.
They're 7-1. Daniel Jones' career resurrected.
Crazy.
Obviously, Jonathan
Shane Steichen also went from like kind of being on the outs, maybe surprised he wasn't fired, to now being one of the most brilliant coaches in the NFL.
It's funny what happens if you get serviceable quarterback play.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They got a good roster. I remember we were talking about it in the before the season started, me and Randy, like, it sucks that their quarterback situation has been so bad. Now, they did it to themselves.
Yeah.
They took the gamble on Anthony Richardson, and they got it wrong. But that roster was kind of made for winning. Like, the way that they put it together, good defense, great running back. Love the Tyler Warren draft pick.
Yep.
Like they got some really good talent on that roster. They just didn't have the quarterback. Now they do.
Yeah, and credit to them for not continuing to invest in kind of a losing situation there with Anthony Richardson, who had he had the least accurate arm in football. He had the most percentage of uncatchable passes in the NFL.
425, very good game. Chiefs and Bills. That'll be a lot of fun this afternoon. Sunday Night Football, Seahawks and Commanders. Should be pretty good as well. And then Cardinals-Cowboys on Monday Night Football in Jerry World, where Kyler Murray has never lost.
Is that right?
High school, state championship games, college, and in the NFL. I think he's a combined 10-0 in Jerry World.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's a solid sample size right
there. Yeah, it's a lot of games. Now, I don't know that it's, you know, I don't know that they have the advantage maybe that they had when he was in high school running around. But, Cowboys defense is really bad, so they got a shot. All right. That's some of the other highlights from around the league coming up on an NFL Sunday. We'll come back. Hour number two on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Joe's going to tell us who's hurt and who's playing. We'll get to our keys to the Falcons game at 10:20 as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.